to start off, can you explain for me in layman's terms what a guardian ad litem is and what he or she does?
Mm-hmm. A guardian ad litem is a volunteer who is trained by us to serve as an advocate for a child who has been abused or neglected. And this child has been removed from the home and usually placed in foster care or with a relative or in a group home. And so that volunteer basically is the eyes and ears of the judge to watch out for that child or the children in that case. So they would visit the child or the children in their case at a minimum of once a month and have contact with other adults and individuals, including teachers, therapists, doctors, social workers, whoever's involved with the child's life.
Now, Dana, many states hire attorneys to do this job, to represent the needs of these children, the interests of these children. But North Carolina actually uses volunteers, often not even attorneys. I mean, these are just people that have an interest in helping these children. So how does that work?
North Carolina is considered a best practice model because we use volunteers and attorneys. So the volunteer is any individual who has a concern for children. We have individuals as young as 18 all the way up to our oldest volunteer is 83 years old. Anybody, you can be working, non-working, you do not have to have the educational background. So we provide the training and the supervision for the volunteer. Then that volunteer does the legwork, gets to know the child, talks to the people involved, and actually writes the recommendations in a court report to the judge. Then we also have attorney advocates. And these attorneys will be in court along with the volunteer. The volunteer is present in court and the attorney, but the attorney is the one who presents the information to the judge. And so that way we have the best of both worlds. We have a volunteer who has the time and the willingness and the ability to go out and make the relationship with the child, and then we have the attorney that has the legal background.
It seems like it could possibly be a risky thing, though, for these volunteers to be going into homes, encountering perhaps abusers or parents who are unhappy with the situation. How does the volunteer navigate that safely?
Several ways we do this. We talk about safety in our training, so they're well equipped with things that they can do to keep themselves safe. They are also always supervised by a program supervisor out of our office who is educated and trained and knows how to handle these kinds of situations. We also tell volunteers that we will never ask them to go into an unsafe situation. And so the children almost always are going to be in a foster home or a situation where it will be safe. However, the volunteer may still need to have contact with the biological parents if there is history of some kind of violence or that the person is abusive to others, then we would not have that volunteer visit with that parent on their own. They would meet with that parent in a public place such as the courthouse or along with the program supervisor. So we're very strict on making sure that our volunteers are safe. And we've never had an incident since I've been here where a volunteer has been injured or hurt. And it's been very rare across the state that that's happened.
We see a lot of horrific and heart-wrenching examples of abuse and neglect. And it seems to me that of all the volunteer jobs that a person could choose to do, this has got to be one of the most intense, one of the most emotionally demanding positions. Is burnout a concern for these guardian ad litems?
It can be, and that's, again, why we have program supervisors who are there to fully support the volunteer. The volunteer, although they do their work independently without the program supervisor with them at all times, the program supervisor is there to support them, to give them feedback, to give them a break if something's going on and they need, to take a break for a month and they can't visit the child, the program supervisor can do it. But we certainly do have some that just, get burned out. And that's going to happen, but we are here to support our volunteers. We believe wholly in giving them everything that they need to be successful. But we do have that burnout, and that's why we always are in the need for more volunteers. We never, ever have enough volunteers.
Could you share with me a success story?
Yes, there are several success stories, but one that comes to mind right away is we have a volunteer that's been with us for, I know, probably 7 or 8 years, worked with a teenage boy who was removed from his parents and was placed in the home of his grandmother. And after working with this child, finally, the court agreed for the grandmother to have guardianship of this child. That's where he was safe. He was becoming successful in school. And we just had a volunteer appreciation event back in May. And spontaneously, he told his volunteer guardian ad litem that he wanted to come to this event and share how she has impacted his life. And so we, even though he wasn't on the agenda, we put him in the program, and he came up and talked about how if it had not been for her and the work that she did advocating for him, he would not be in a safe home. He would not be successful. And now he's doing well in school. He's playing football for one of the high schools, and just gave this volunteer all the praise. And so that to me is a wonderful success story.
State law requires that these children have a guardian ad litem. Mm-hmm. Without that law, without a guardian ad litem, what would be the ramification for these children, do you think?
Well, before we had guardians ad litem for children, basically there were just Department of Social Services was represented in the courtroom, and the parents had representation, but the child had no voice in the courtroom. Now, you have to keep in mind, DSS and the social workers are there for the whole family. They are looking at the parents, the child, any other relatives. They're looking at the whole family. The child was often left out and not ever given a voice. And so without the guardian ad litem and the attorney advocate, that voice cannot be heard. The volunteer must not only make recommendations as to what is in the child's best interest, the volunteer must also know and find out what the child's wishes are. What does the child want? Does the child want to go back with mom? Does the child want to live with Aunt Susie? And it is the volunteer's responsibility to express that to the court.
So does a guardian ad litem then also eliminate the need in many cases for the child to have to testify in front of their abuser or in front of their parents and say, I want to go with mom or dad, which could obviously be hard for a child?
Yes, of course children do in some instances end up having to testify, which can be very traumatic, and it is our role to prepare the child to testify. Because we are the child's advocate and our attorney is representing that child, we would make sure through the therapist's direction to get a child ready for that. However, it's not needed as often because the judge is going to look at what the volunteer says and take that as that's what the child wants.
I've seen data that these cases are increasing the hearings themselves are increasing by several hundred a year here in the state of North Carolina. What does that mean for your office? What kind of pressure is Mecklenburg County experiencing because of that increase in abuse and neglect cases?
Well, at this day and time, we have about 913 children that we represent that are in our program, that are in the custody of DSS. Only about 562 of those have a volunteer assigned to them. And then we have 352 children who do not have a volunteer. That means that the attorney and the program supervisor are the ones that have to find out the information on the child to try to advocate for that child effectively and tell the judge what that child needs and wants. And that limits us. When we have court every single week, our attorneys are in court every week, the program supervisors are in court just about every week with all of these hearings that we have, because every child has more than one hearing. They have multiple hearings throughout the year or the time that they're in custody. So for them to be able to provide information to the court, we are very limited when we don't have a volunteer. Right now, we have 228 volunteers. Of course, volunteers have more than one child usually. Sometimes volunteers take more than one case, or they might have a case with multiple children that are siblings. Say a family might have five children that were removed from the home. So it varies on what the volunteer is able to manage and what our needs are in our office.
And not only is this an emotionally demanding volunteer role, it sounds like it's also pretty time consuming.
It can be, but people even who have full-time jobs work as volunteer guardians ad litem. We say here in the state of North Carolina that it takes anywhere from 6 to 10 hours a month. And because you're visiting the child on your own time, you can go in evenings after you get off work, you can go on the weekends. However, you know, if you need to talk to doctors and therapists and social workers, you can do that on the phone. And a lot of people who work do that during their breaks, just on the phone. And then, of course, court hearings are scheduled in enough advance that you can ask time off. So it sounds very time consuming, and it is a big commitment. We don't want to lessen the importance of the commitment, but at the same time, anybody can do this job.
Surely there are good ones, though. What makes a good one?
A good volunteer is someone who is totally committed to making a difference in a child's life. Someone who is passionate about it and is willing to learn, because you don't come into this knowing everything. And even when you leave our 30 hours of training, you're not going to know everything and how to do it. But someone who is patient and willing to continue to learn and to develop a relationship with that child, those are the ones who really succeed.
What is that relationship? Is this a big brother, big sister, let's go have ice cream kind of a relationship? Or are we talking about something different here?
No, and a lot of people get that confused. It is not a mentoring position. However, you know, you may end up mentoring that child by helping them feel better about themselves or giving them advice and so forth and so on. But it is truly an advocate position. And we do teach our volunteers how to explain that position and that role to the child, depending on their age level. But volunteers are not allowed to take their children on trips, to take them in their car, to take them out to eat, or provide gifts for them. So it is totally different from a big brother, big sister. It is not that role at all.
So rewarding in a different way then, I guess?
It's very rewarding because our volunteers know that they are making an impact on that child's safety and the permanence that they have. When they see a child return back to their parents and their parents are successful in making whatever changes need to be made for that child to come home, or when they see a child adopted and in a wonderful, loving home, that is when they get their reward. And you will hear volunteers say over and over and over about that this is probably one of the most rewarding experiences they have had and ever will have.
Give me your best pitch to somebody who is out there thinking, you know, I'd really like to volunteer, and that sounds great, but that is just way over my head to be dealing with abuse and neglect and in court.
Mm-hmm. When I first heard about guardian ad litem and became a staff member, I was scared to death because I thought, I have never had any involvement with court whatsoever. And it scared me to death to think that I would be in court. But at the same time, that's why we train our volunteers. We will give you all the tools that you need to feel comfortable and give you all the support that you need and supervision to make sure that you're making good decisions. The main thing to think about is that if it were not for the Guardian Ad Litem program, children all over the state would be in unsafe situations and would be returned home to parents when they shouldn't be returned home and would still be in foster care when they need to be adopted. And it's because of volunteers all across the state that things have moved forward and kids have gained permanence and safety and security.
Dana Freddy, thanks for your time.
Thank you.